Hey there, this is Dee.
And I'm Miles.
Welcome to
So, how's that working out for you? And we got something to talk about.
Let's get into it.
Well, hello there and welcome back. You're back to hanging with Miles in the morning. And boy, it's been a while since I got to talk to y'all. And what better month to get back at it and talk to you than Mental Health Awareness Month. And as you know, coming out of this COVID and everything that we've had going on, this has been an extreme time for all of us. And, you know, this is the time that we need to check in with our friends and our families. It's a good month, you know, and it brings the awareness to it of how much a lot of us are struggling out there, just dealing with the simple aspects of life and how they're affecting us mentally. And it's been tough, and I know it. Based off the people that I've been working with and the conversations that I've had with many friends and family, this year has been extremely, extremely tough. So I'm glad you're back and hanging with Miles in the morning. I'm excited to get back and talk to you guys. I'm excited about the things I'm going to talk about with you. We're going to talk about, of course, you know, what I've been working on and working on myself and working with clients and friends and family. And that's cognitive behavior and the therapy behind it and the distortions that we're dealing with on a daily basis that's keeping us from excelling and doing the things that we want to do in our lives, and it's holding us back in a lot of ways. So just as a recap, you know, because I like to kind of bring it back, because I know there's other podcasts on there that I talk about it, but you know, and talk about the ABCs of cognitive behavior. A being the activating events. Those are the events that have happened throughout our lives, the things that happened in childhood, some of the experiences that we went through, traumatic events that have happened to us. And now they've created some setbacks for us. There are activating events. And then we move into our beliefs, the B. And that is, now we've created these beliefs. We've created these behaviors and these things that still keep us from doing the things that we want to do. It's our own explanation for how things are. And remember, we've talked about that. Like a scientist, what do scientists do? They break things down. They actually try to disprove them, and they try to gather as much knowledge as they can before they can say, I believe in this. But not us. We have an event. We have a trigger, an event. We have some things that happen in our lives. Next thing you know, we have this belief that we perpetuate out to everybody and how we live our lives. And a lot of times those are not beneficial. Now, of course, there's good cognitive actions that happen in our lives, and they create positive beliefs, and they create things in our lives that help us throughout our lives. Those are good things. And we're not talking about those, because we all have some really good beliefs. We have some really good training. We had some really good people in our lives that helped us with a lot of those things. And gave us some core values, gave us some core beliefs that we can depend on. And in a lot of cases, we've broken a lot of those down and we've got some facts behind them. But what I'm talking about are these beliefs that we have that are holding us back that aren't factual. There's something that somebody else put in us, something else that we experienced, we saw. And now we have these beliefs that are holding us back from growing. They're holding us back from being better people. And then finally, the C, these are the consequent. And what these are, the consequent are the emotions, the behaviors, the feelings, the actions that come out of those core beliefs, right? So we have the activating event. Then we have a belief on how we're supposed to respond to that activating event. And then we have the consequent, the thing, the behavior, the action, the things that we do that actually don't benefit us, that actually take us down the wrong alley, that actually create those dark places for us on our lives. And that's what I work on. And those are the things, just real quick, when I try to do that ABC thing, is so that it can be very simplified for you and you can have an idea where it goes. Because what we're going to talk about in this podcast is, I'm going to talk about the steps in the therapy that I do with people. And then I'm also going to talk about what me and Dee do with marriage couples coaching, and how all of that kind of ties in together, and why we as a couple have taken this on because we see through our own experiences and the things that we both have dealt with and family members have dealt with and what we're seeing going on out there in the world that makes us want to go after that and help the world in this way with cognitive behavior and marriage couples coaching. And man, we've really reached out and helped a lot of people already. And, you know, I do the Zoom meetings and I just do things that are really helping people, just touching in with them and just giving them good advice and solid things that are data driven and that are backed up by true science. Because this is a lot of these things that I'm talking about. This is not my perspective or what I think it should be. And, you know, no, this is true science, because for me, I got to have data. I got to have numbers. I got to have something that I can follow that is a process driven, that's formatted and has been proven. And the things that I'm addressing with people are things that I know are facts, that I know work, that I know, yeah, they might have come from theory, but then there's all this data that proves and helps that theory grow some roots. And so I'm gonna spend some time with you on that. So ABC, our activating events, our beliefs, and our consequence. And then we're gonna talk about next is our core assumptions. And what our core assumptions are, these are the things that impact our daily lives. We see them, we see things in certain ways because these are our core assumptions. These are, and there's a word, assumption, that there's no fact behind it. I assume that these things are this way, and they're deep down in there. These are true things that I truly believe. These are my core assumptions of the world. And how are they impacting the world? And how are they impacting my daily life? So, like, I want to give you an example, just something that we're kind of all dealing with right now because there's a lot of tension out there. Say race, let's just go to the race. Like, I have certain assumptions that when I see this person of this color or this person of this race or this person of this background, that they are like that, that they are that kind of people. They do those kind of things. And that's an assumption. And those are the things that get us in trouble. And yeah, there's so many more, and you know that, where you just assume things are that way. What proof? What science do you have? And then they get in the way and they start to cause all these internal problems in our lives. We get the depression. We get anxiety. We get all these different thought patterns that we create out of these assumptions that aren't factual. You know, because you see a certain person over on a corner or a block or somewhere, and then all of a sudden, I'm feeling a certain way about it. I have some anxiety about this person. I have this depression now because of all of these things that I assume are that way. What facts do you have? And that's what we're talking about. So if I can accept this one question, if I can accept that my attitude about these things can change, my assumptions about these things can change, how different can I be towards people? How different can I be towards the things that are in my life? If I can just say, hey, you know what? I could be wrong about this. There could be a different way to look at this. How would that impact my life? Let's talk about blaming and responsibility, you know, coming right after this. If I'm blaming everybody for what I'm not doing or where I'm at or what's happening to me or what's going on here, and I'm blaming people, how is that going to benefit me to change some of the things inside of me that I know are holding me back? And so we talk about this, and we've talked about it in other podcasts, is taking responsibility. The moment that I can take responsibility of my feelings, my actions, all the things that I'm in control of. Like I said, I can't control what people say, but I can always control how I act. And then I start giving myself all these labels and things because I'm not controlling the things that I can control. And I'm not taking responsibility for the things that I'm supposed to take responsibility for. And all that creates these cognitive distortions that end up impacting us in so many ways. And studies show the majority of us have them. We have them on different levels. But two things, take responsibility, stop the blaming. And then third, how can I see this situation and see these things in a different way? How can I change my perspective? How can I adjust to this and see it from a whole different place? And if I can, and if I can accept that I can do something like that, that I have the ability to do that, how might that change my life? How might that change some of my mental stuff that I'm going through? How might it change? And how many of us are confusing feelings with facts? Feelings come and go. Don't take me wrong with this whatsoever, because our feelings need to be acknowledged. We need to understand them. We need to explore them. But are they facts? Because facts are always there. Feelings come and go. One day I'm feeling this way and the next day I'm not. That's not a fact. A fact is what it is, is what it is, is what it is. And if I can accept that that is true, how might that change my life? How might that change my perspective? If I can say that my feelings aren't facts, I feel depressed, I feel anxiety, I feel stressed, I feel bad about this, I feel bad about that. What facts do you have behind any of that? And if I can change that perspective, how might that change my life? I believe, and I've shown, and I've done it myself, my wife's worked on it, friends and family, individual clients, just changing the perspective on how I look at it. Can I look at that from a different place in a way that is productive for myself? If I turn my beliefs into facts, how is that beneficial to anybody else? They're my beliefs, but I'm making them factual. But they have a whole different way of thinking about it. But I force my beliefs and I turn them into facts. I just don't see how that is productive. I don't see how that's going to help me bond with people, how that's going to change my life if I'm always making my beliefs, which I already know they're not factual. They're based off all kind of different things and traumas and things that I've experienced through my lenses. I already know this, but it becomes factual for me. How is that benefiting me? And how is that going to help me mentally and emotionally get to the place that I want to get? A big one. Labeling. The labeling we put on ourselves. Like what I talked about a little bit earlier. We label ourselves, we get up in the morning. Oh, I feel terrible. Oh, I'm so depressed today. Oh, I'm so anxious today. Oh, I have all of these what I ams. I'm not a good person. I'm not very happy. I'm not very nice. I'm not this. I'm not that. I'm labeling myself. The key here is to take all those labels away and not make myself one thing. I am open. I am here to enjoy the world. I'm here to explore the day. I'm here to be a good person. I'm here to open my heart and my mind to new things. I'm here to see different perspectives. I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow. I'm not here to be depressed. I'm not here to have anxiety. Because if I continually tell, and that's the mind, if I continually tell myself that, the mind is going to take over. And you are in control of that. You are in control of that. Yeah, you say, yeah, Miles, that sounds simple. I wake up and I feel depressed. I hear you. But if we continually wake up and we tell ourselves that every day, we will continue to have that same result. If I say, why? And that's the big one. You're continually asking yourself, why? Why am I feeling this way? Why do I think this? Why do I tell myself I'm these things? Why am I putting on the label? But you have to ask yourself the why. And you have to continually. Does that change things? Not always. But over time, you begin to understand, well, I feel depressed this morning because I woke up and I didn't eat well last night, so I don't feel good this morning. It's raining outside. All these different reasons we can wake up feeling a certain way. The conversation and the argument that I had with my spouse, I'm not feeling good today. Well, there's different perspectives on how to see all of those different things. I can take a different route. It's raining out there today because God needs it to rain. We got to keep us from having a drought. It's raining out there today because just the flowers and the things need this rain. Not because it makes me feel bad. Now I can look at it from different perspective. Yeah, it doesn't change things overnight, but we retrain our brain through taking those things away. So imagine if I can just say, like I'm going to continue to say, if I can look at it in this way, how might that change my life? How might that change things? If I can look at it from a different perspective, if I believe that these things are possible, that I can change. And remember, everything that we learn, data proves we can unlearn. All of that stuff can be changed, but we have to first acknowledge, ask ourselves, why? Why do I feel that way today? Why is it when my spouse said that to me, I am now feeling like this? Why did I wake up feeling depressed? It might be because I needed to get up and meditate and take a walk or work out. But why? Why? And then, of course, there's action. Of course, there's action. Where are these cognitive distortions coming from? Why? And remember my famous tool now, and it's being used quite a bit, and I use it all the time, and I have my clients use it, and that's that stop, S-T-O-P-P. First, we just stop. What am I doing right now? Why am I going there? Stop, S. Why? Stop. Let's start to think about it a little bit. And then take some deep breaths. T, take some deep breaths. And this is proven, this is data, you know. Let me clear my brain. Take those 10, 15, 20 breaths. Slow it down. First I stop, then I take some deep breaths. S-T. And then I go, oh, and I observe, right? That's when I'm asking myself those why questions. I'm observing what's going on with me. Why am I having this emotion? Why is it when she did or he did or that happened to me, why is that impacting me? What cognitive distortion do I have inside of me that's giving me this non-productive feeling, emotion, thing that's going on in my life? None of this just works overnight, you guys. It's a constant tool. When those things come along, I stop. And then I take breaths. Then I observe and ask why. And then I go into the P. And the P is my perspective, right? My perspective. Is there a better way to see this? Is there a different perspective I can have on this? The way that person treated me, the way that person cut me off, maybe they're on their way to their child that just got injured and they got to get there right away. I don't need to be upset about that. There's a different perspective on how to see that situation. And like I said, this takes practice and work. And then the last P, I put it into play, right? That means I work on it. I work on my S-T-O-P-P. I actually take some action. I actually do something about it. And I tell you, over time, if you use that S-T-O-P-P, you will, over time, get there. First, I stop. I take some deep breaths. I observe what's going on. I get me a different perspective, and then I put it into action, that plan. And I tell you, over time, it begins to take form. It begins to help you. So that is a cognitive behavior, and that's my real quick over-the-counter, real quick dialogue about it. And then what I want to talk to you about next is I want to talk to you about, if you were to talk with me, I'm going to talk to you more about the business aspect of my practice and what I'm working on with people and how the process goes. So you got an idea. If you were to give me a call, if you were to email me, if you were to do one of those things and make contact with me and really wanted to do this, this is what I would take you through. First, we do an assessment. And then that's big. We're going to find out what's wrong. Where am I missing it at? Where do I want to go? What are my cognitive distortions that are holding me back? And then we begin to explore and reconceptualize and explore different ways to look at those things. I'm going to start giving you tools, paperwork, ideas, activities, physical things that you're going to have to work and really think about, and you're going to come up with answers. Very, very structured. This is all structured. You go from A, B, C, D, and it just comes down. And then the next thing you know, we have built some tools. So we're going to conceptualize. We're going to draw up a plan. We're going to work on some things. We're going to build some tools. And then what we're going to do over time together, we're going to develop some skills. Like I gave you the first STOP. That's just one of many that help you get to the place where you're dealing with these things in a way that become productive for you. We actually physically develop tools that help us with the fear, that create true facts, that give you a logical way to look at things from a different perspective and not bury you. And it's big and it works. And then we're going to have application of those skills. We're going to work together. We're going to have the exercises and we're going to apply them daily. And we're going to work through those. And we're going to have conversations. And we're going to work with each other until these skills become habit. We're going to work with each other until these skills become habit. And what average right now is about 10 to 12 sessions before we start. I have a couple that, you know, I'm continually working with and I have to spend more time with, depending on the severity of their cognitive distortions and the things that they're dealing with. And then, you know, the different aspects that are in their lives and people and so forth. So, but on average, it's about 10 to 12 sessions and we get there. And yeah, it's work. I mean, you're going to be doing some paperwork. You're going to be working on some skills. We're going to have a lot of dialogue. And then I'm going to follow up with you from time to time. I'm just going to check on you. We're going to do a couple Zooms or whatever we need to do. Hit me with a couple text messages. We talk on the phone every now and again. But I'm going to follow up with you. I'm going to stay there with you and help you through the journey. And we get there. You know, by the time it's all said and done, we get there. And then I want to get into talking about marriage couples coaching. And like I said, cognitive behavior and all that kind of goes into marriage couples, because what you find out when you do your assessment with couples is they have a lot of things that are going on in their lives as far as traumas and cognitive distortions, beliefs, and things that they brought to that relationship that are holding that relationship back from getting to the place that it needs to get to. So when you come in with us, and now me and Dee have adapted some Gottman methodology, and the Gottman is science-based, truly process-driven, science, I mean, analytical numbers and formulas that give you 94% efficiency in identifying where those problems are and identifying a couple that is headed down the wrong direction. 94%. I mean, this is great data. Do your research before, and I always tell my new clients is, do a little bit of research about the Gottman first before you come and start the process with us. It's not rocket science, but it is science. It's over 40 years of proven science behind it, where a lot of work has went into it. And I tell you, it's been amazing, the results. And me and Dee use it in our marriage. And it's amazing. I'm telling you, what it did for us is what we as couples coaches before Gottman is we based it off a lot of this is what worked for us. But we didn't understand that there was actually science behind that. There was actually formulas behind why this was working for us. We didn't understand that and couldn't explain it on that level and didn't have the format to explain it on that level. And what Gottman did and the methodology of this gave us format, gave us the ability to sit down with people and say, okay, here we are. And here we're going to go. And these are the processes and the checkpoints along the way, and gave it a true structured format for the couple to follow, for the couple to understand, and for them to follow with ease. And I tell you, this is data driven. This is science, and it's really cool. So the first part is we do the assessment. That's the biggest part. And I think where people don't do this in a lot of couples coaching is they don't go through the true assessment of all of the different areas that they need help in and not have something formatted. So like with the assessment, there is about five different process-driven formats that we give you that you fill out. We work together, we go over. We do an assessment of you guys having an argument where we actually film and then we discuss it, because a lot of times we find out as couples don't really know what they're doing when they're having this conflict about something, but they don't really know what they are really bringing until they see it on video, until they hear it. And it's amazing. This is a life-changing event that happens because you really begin to see how dysfunctional you are when you guys have disagreements. And then we begin the treatment. And now the treatment is, we go through the whole entire process, we go through all the formulas, we break it down, where the areas that we need improvement, is it in our love map, is it in our shared meaning, is it in just different places in our relationship that if we're not checking all the boxes, sooner or later, these are the things that give us the problems and why people end up in our office and then we end up talking to and we end up doing the Zoom meetings with. This is where it happens. It happens in that. And with the treatment, we actually together, we come up with a true documented process, not just what I think or what, you know, what we believe or what worked for us or our history. This is process driven. This is factual based. And of course, we're going to have our input and we'll work together, but we truly have a great treatment plan. And then we start to phase out the therapy. We slowly build those tools into you. We watch you in action. We build those tools. And that's what happens with a lot of times. You know, that's why 50% to 80% of couples, even after they've gone through couples coaching or couples counseling, they end up having reverse. You look at the numbers. This is not stuff that I'm coming up with. But with this therapy, it's actually building the tools. You're actually building things that are process driven and things that you will be able to go back into and continue to work. We give you the paperwork, you work through it, you have it, you understand it, and then you guys are continually able to fall back on a lot of those tools and help yourself. And then we still make ourselves available to you. And then we terminate it. This is not something that lasts for 2 years. You know, like you could say you hear couples going to their counselors for years upon years upon years. No. It's not set up that way. It's set up to build the couples and give them the processes that manage and give them understanding and a way to really help their marriage continue to grow. That's what we do. You know, we start with 3 assessment sessions. You know, they last quite a while. It's about an hour to hour and a half. This is where we're breaking down everything. We're asking a lot of questions. We got a lot of formats that we go through that break down a lot of different places. Then those are able to go into a computer program that actually give out numbers of where you are, negatively, positively. I mean, this is all data. You know, we'll meet together individually. We'll meet together as a couple. During the assessments, we'll get the history of your relationship. We'll get the philosophy of what you believe about relationships. Then, like I said, we'll have that 10-minute assessment of how you guys are handling arguments and how you're dealing with that. We'll be observing many things: defensiveness, contempt, stonewalling, belligerence towards each other, domineering, emotional disengagement. Are you guys emotionally disengaged? Also, we'll be looking for ways, are you guys trying to repair? Is there positive things in the relationship? What strengths do you have? You know, are we respectful to one another? Is there compromise? Is there humor? Is there validation? We'll be using videotape. We'll have interactions. We hopefully get couples to move to the admitting role, where we begin to admit through those activities, yeah, these things are happening. It's real. We move you to that phase of taking ownership and responsibility. We're not blaming each other anymore. We're beginning to just take responsibility for where we are. We're going to also measure your heart rates and, you know, to see what you're doing and see when you guys are having your arguments, then you'll begin to see the physiology of how you guys are reacting to conflict and the things that you're not able to accomplish together. And like I said, there's data out there that shows that, you know, having these arguments and all these bad things happening in the marriage, they take a big toll on your health. And at some point, you know, it takes years and years off of your life. And it's real. So we get to that point. We ask questions surrounding your wedding, your honeymoon, all the fun stuff. So there's a lot of fun stuff that happens because people get to talk about their us, about who they are, you know, and we're going to get to the root cause of why you're there and why you're having the problems. And we'll develop questions and we'll get the answers and we'll shift our minds about how we want to handle this marriage. And we'll get a true grasp of it. And like I said, there's over 40 years of science behind this. And it's really good, y'all. And I really look forward to having these conversations with you. I wanted to have this podcast to talk about, because I've had a lot of people ask, can you explain what you actually do? What do you and D do with cognitive behavior? What do you guys really do inside your couples coaching? So I wanted to take the time to have this. It was a great time to do it since it was Mental Health Awareness Month. So I figured, wow, this is a great time to have this conversation with you and to experience this with you and take you through the business aspect about it. And then always, like I said, touch bases on cognitive behavior, because it's truly one of the major impacts in our lives, in our mental health. So as always, you guys, it was great talking with you. I really do appreciate all the love, support that me and Dee have gotten. We're making changes in the world, and that's what it's all about, is trying to do something better for those people that are around you and that you love, and those that just need your love and your support. And that's what me and Dee are here for. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We're hanging with Miles in the Morning, coming out here, Zero Dark 30, trying to hang with you guys and give you a great message. I love you guys. Peace. All right, y'all, till next time.
Peace.